This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Creative Impact. It is our weekly series focused on the impact of the arts and the creative sector on our lives and in our community. Creative Impact guests are the driving forces that make Washtenaw County one of Michigan's strongest and most vibrant arts and creative industry hubs. Our partner is the Arts Alliance, and the president and CEO of that organization is Deb Pollock, and she lines up and sets up the very best guests to share the stories of our community. And welcome back to the studios of WEMU, Deb.
It's good to be in the warmth of the WEMU studio. So, today I think we have a really interesting conversation. We're going to talk about creative entrepreneurs, triple bottom lines, and the life cycles of businesses. And those are just some of the topics we're going to explore with our guest, Paul Hickman. He's an artist and a creative entrepreneur. He founded Urban Ashes, a business in Saline that after more than 10 years, he recently decided to close.
Welcome to Creative Impact, Paul. We thank you for joining us to share your story.
Thank you for having me.
I can recall a time where you joined us for Issues of the Environment on this very radio station, talking about exactly what Urban Ashes was going to be, what it was becoming, and how it was going to benefit the community. I want to kind of start there. What is the backstory of Urban Ashes? When you started it, you were actually responding to the environmental crisis of the Emerald Ash Borer.
Correct. And I think we're going back a little ways when I was there the last time. I want to say it was maybe 8 years ago or so.
Right.
Maybe a little longer even.
We can only be grateful I can still remember.
You're doing better than me. It started, Urban Ashes came out of an organization that I helped start with a few other people in 2005 called the Urban Wood Project, which was exactly what you said. It was created to focus on utilizing all the wood that was coming from all the destroyed ash trees from the Emerald Ash Borer. And we put together a network of mills to try to process, to process that lumber and make it available to the public. And that ultimately became the Urban Wood Marketplace, which is doing very well in Ann Arbor, as well as multiple locations around the state. And then by 2008, myself and one of the other founders, Jason Bing, got back together and we started talking about trying to come up with a product that we could scale nationally to really tap into the underutilized urban wood, not just ash, but other trees that are being would be coming down for various reasons, other than to be turned into lumber. And out of that conversation, Urban Ashes Picture Frame Company was launched on April 4th, 2009.
And Paul, so that was the environmental bottom line thing for you, but you also overlaid it with a social mission.
Yeah, we did. That was Jason was the one who threw that out initially, and he at the time he worked for Recycle Ann Arbor, and Recycle Ann Arbor has a long history of working with different organizations that have individuals with barriers to employment, everything from physical to mental disabilities to addiction issues to returning citizens, a pretty wide swath, and Jason recommended that whatever the product was, and we focused on picture frames, whatever that was, that it should be manufactured with labor coming from those labor pools. And at the time, I knew nothing about it, but it sounded very interesting to me, and so I wanted to dig into that. And we pretty quickly focused on what I felt were two of the most critical ones in those fields, or the returning citizens aspect, as well as youth that had contact with our juvenile justice system.
So when you say returning citizens, those who are being released from the penal system?
Correct.
And in developing a staff comprised of those talent pools, did you find that it was a sustainable model for the first couple of years you were working with them?
Yeah, the model for the labor pools and the environmental aspects, sort of the two key non-traditional elements, so to speak, outside of the sort of traditional bottom line business model, those were all functioning pretty well. It was ultimately in the sort of the financial, more traditional business realm where we struggled a little bit more. And so we didn't have too many issues with adopting the hiring practices that we wanted. There was definitely some learning curve on working with those labor pools, but nothing that wasn't manageable, as well as it was actually pretty exciting because it was a whole new thing for me. And then, you know, but ultimately what happened with us was we were able to maintain a good growth at about 25% per year across its life. But the first 3 years, I don't really count. That was kind of an R&D from 2009 to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
But that we just couldn't get our cost of goods and margins in line where they needed to be for us to continue on. We had tremendous success in the other two areas, the labor pool and the environmental aspect. We diverted tons and tons of wood from the mulch and burn pile, and we were able to provide a lot of opportunities and training and meaningful work to a good number of individuals that mostly would not have had access to it otherwise.
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair. I'm sitting alongside my co-host Deb Pollock of the Arts Alliance. We're learning about the life cycle of a creative business from our guest Paul Hickman. He was the founder of Urban Ash. It's a triple bottom line creative business in Saline that recently closed its doors.
And Paul, the product, the frames, you know, those were really hot. People loved them, and they received a lot of positive press,
mm-hmm.
and you
and
won a lot
beautiful.
Of awards, and they were beautiful. And you managed through. I mean, You made it through a lot of the statistics. You know, most businesses close within the first 2 years, and you got past the 5-year mark, which is another marker. But there were lots of ebbs and flows, as you started to allude to. And then eventually, you kind of realized that there was a time you had to evaluate the future of this business. Was it a series of events? Was it something specific?
It was more of an evolution is what I would say. It's, you know, we were doing, like I said, really well in the marketing part of the business. I knew we had a great story and a product that people could really get behind. It was not so much of a change as it was an evolution. You know, that happened while we, you know, as we grew over the years, that started to evolve. While the brand, the marketing, the sales, and all the other social enterprise aspects of it grew, I wasn't successful in growing our operations portion to keep up with the rest of the business. So it was more of a on the traditional side that we struggled to keep up with, as you said, the hot part of the business. And ultimately, we were bleeding too much on the production side to survive.
So with that perspective of looking back, reflecting, and having kind of the hindsight necessary, would you have done anything differently through the 10-year process?
Absolutely. From the beginning, kind of in two key areas, and they kind of contradict each other or oppose each other a little bit. In some areas, I would have stuck with my initial intuition where, you know, for example, in the very beginning, I was very hesitant to do all the manual. I wanted to do it all in-house. My initial thought was to do everything in-house so we had good control over all the manufacturing and to keep, you know, tight reins on training quality and keeping the product, you know, lined tight to what I knew was doable with the wood we were working with. But I was concerned about my lack of knowledge in the labor force area, and ultimately pretty quickly started outsourcing all of our manufacturing for the first two very early years. And that was actually pretty costly and I think held us back quite a bit in the beginning. And then the second part, once we started to grow and we brought everything in-house, I would have, I was so focused on labor pools that we had and developing from there from bottom up internally. In hindsight, I would definitely be bringing in some additional outside expertise beyond myself, you know, because a big part of the issue was I was really the only one with manufacturing experience. And once we start to grow and you get to a certain size, you can only spread yourself out so far. And it just got beyond what I could do, and I should have had some other outside people that have had some serious manufacturing experience, kind of like I did, but were able to focus on the operational side while I was focused on the big picture and marketing elements.
I think
branding and things like that.
One of the takeaways we can get is that perhaps for entrepreneurs, if we had a better social service that allowed us some of the business acumen and some of the guidance through that process, we could eliminate some of the errors that might sustain a business more into the future. But it's more than just a business. This was a passion. This was your art, and this became your life. So I'm just going to guess that the emotional impact of having to close so just a short time ago is something you're going to carry with you for a while.
Yeah, I will. It's as I said for a long time in the while running the business is that I invested my kids' future in this. That alone was one of the main drivers for me being so stubborn and letting it go. So in a way, the emotional part has been going on for a long time, and not giving in was kind of a major drain. And now that I've kind of come to peace with that, it wasn't going to be able to continue on. It's a little easier for me at this point. But for the last, particularly the last 2 years, was extremely difficult. And now I'm actually looking forward to. We planted a major seed, and I'm very happy with what we were able to accomplish. It's hard to let it go, but I'm really excited to see where this can go next. And so I feel a little better right now, actually, than I did over the last 2 years. I don't know if that answers your question.
Absolutely. Well, Paul,
it's really tough to make it. To make that decision was excruciating. That was the hardest part.
Paul, thank you so much for sharing your entrepreneurial journey, and we will look forward to what you do next.
Yes, Paul, we're looking forward to it. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much.
That is Paul Hickman, the founder and CEO of what was Urban Ashes. This is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.